This is Stephen Strang. I want to introduce my listeners to Charisma Magazine if you don't already get it. Or if you do get it, you could respond to this special offer and we will continue your subscription into the future. The offer is to give you both of my books on Donald Trump, God and Donald Trump, and the new one, Trump Aftershock. These are a value of just less than $50, plus 2 years of Charisma, which costs around $40, and you can get the whole thing for only $39. Now, let me repeat. You get both of my best-selling books and 2 years of Charisma for only $39, and all you have to do is go to this site, trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I'll repeat it, but the good thing about a podcast is you can back it up and listen to it again. Is trumpbooks.charismamag.com. I hope you'll take advantage of this offer. Even if you have read the books, you know, it's always nice to have a new book, especially one signed by the author. It makes a good birthday present. Later in the year, it'll make a good Christmas present. And I hope that you'll take advantage of it because it's a good offer and it's my way to try to connect you with Charisma and also get more copies of my book out there. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report, and here's my episode.
Welcome to The Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
It seems everyone's wanting to talk about the Mueller report. After 2 years, Robert Mueller and his team of lawyers have said that there was no Russian collusion and no obstruction of justice. Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and I've been talking about this on the Strang Report, and recently I did a media interview for my new book on the program Focus Today on KDOV TV and radio up in Oregon. Perry Atkinson is the host, and today Steve Johnson filled in for him. I've been on their program several times. In fact, the last time I did a podcast with the interview as I am today, and it was one of our highest listened to podcasts for the month. So I thought you'd like to hear our discussion about Robert Mueller, about Donald Trump, and here it is.
Welcome back to Focus Today. Steve Johnson with you, and we are joined by Stephen Strang. He's the author of a new book called Trump Aftershock, as well as God and Donald Trump. Now, he's a CEO of Charisma Magazine, founder of Charisma Magazine, and you are Charisma Media's CEO, and you might have read Charisma Magazine. Stephen, it's good to have you back. It's been a while since I've talked to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be with you again.
Terrific. Okay, we're kind of, I mean, this is a day, I want to get into some of your books and the whole aspect of what we're seeing in America as far as any kind of a spiritual warfare, but I want to ask your initial reaction. The Mueller report is out. Now we've had a day to find out how people who don't like the results of that are saying, hey, we need to get more information about it. Give me your assessment. Were you surprised that the president was vindicated of collusion?
Absolutely not surprised. You know, you could look at the facts and see that. I mean, why would they collude with the Russians? If there was any collusion at all, it was with the Democrats and Hillary Clinton with that dossier and all the other things that happened. And the really, really, really scary thing, much more than the Russians getting involved in our elections, which undoubtedly has happened before and has happened with different countries, is the corruption in our highest law enforcement officials in this country, the FBI and the Department of Justice. And also they use the CIA. Now, we know that they've used the CIA for other things like spying on us. I mean, really, this is what they call the deep state. This is what Donald Trump is trying to disrupt, and we need to get to the bottom of this. I believe that now that the Mueller report is behind him, that he will take action to get some of this cleaned up, because several of these people were so bad, they got fired either by the DOJ or by Mueller himself because of their bias. Peter Strzok comes to mind. But, you know, they're out of office, but there has been no consequences, no accountability at all.
Now, Senator Lindsey Graham has said some of the things that you've had. He wants to have some questions, the things that have kind of been, I guess you'd say, slid under the carpet. You're talking about Hillary Clinton, the Steele dossier that doesn't seem to have any factual basis, yet it's being used in some sort of way as evidence of how bad Donald Trump really is. Now, and it sounds like Lindsey wants to have some more hearings to kind of go back and unpeel this out. Do you think that's a good idea?
Of course. It needs to be done. Some things have come out, obviously, or we wouldn't even be talking about it. But even more than the dirty dossier, I think that what is really scary about that is that the FBI and the CIA went to the FISA court and used it as proof when there's pretty good evidence that the whole thing was just fiction. The thing about Hillary Clinton, though, is how she destroyed 30,000 emails, how she used her own server, which was against the law, how classified material was on her server. You know, people have gone to prison for doing less than she did, and she got not even a slap on the wrist, unless you consider Comey's press conference, in which he basically laid out the facts on why she was guilty, and then he exonerated her. You know, that was probably a little bit embarrassing. The week before the election, he said he reopened the probe or something. I really think that was cover for himself, thinking that she would win and being able to point to that as being, you know, really tough, when that didn't happen at all. I do think that his coming out with that late may have been part of what swung the election, especially with voters who are maybe waiting until the last minute to make up their mind.
You know, I remember that Hillary was asked by reporters, are you concerned that there may be an investigation and charges could be brought? This was against her. It had to do with Benghazi and the emails and all that. And I remember her overt confidence, if I can put it that way, is kind of a smugness, but it seemed, oh, no, that's not going to happen. Almost as if she had some inside information of a guarantee that she was told at that time. But now it looks like that might be reopening all once again. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, you talked about the FBI and draining the swamp and all that kind of stuff. The president's been trying to do that for a while. Even with this evidence, do you think he'll have more of an ability to get out the people who seem to be working at odds against his presidency?
Oh, of course. And I don't think it's a matter of draining the swamp just for the purposes of draining the swamp. What we want to do is have them follow the law. We want them to be just. And when it's not, people need to be accountable. I mean, if you and I go over the speed limit or, any number of other things, we pay our taxes a little bit late, we get in trouble just as common citizens. And then you have these high people. It just proves that there's almost a different level of justice for the elites and for others, and certainly for the Clintons. The Clintons have been getting away with things their entire career. I mean, look at Whitewater. The governor of Arkansas went to prison over that, and other people went to prison, and the Clintons went to Washington as president and first lady. It's just the most incredible thing. I'm reading Ken Starr's book right now, and it's a real eye-opener on what happened with the Clintons. And I think that the story has not been told, or at least I should say, I hope that Hillary Clinton is brought to justice. Same thing with Comey, Clapper, some of these other people who have lied. This isn't even an exaggeration. It's not even a difference of opinion. They lied. There's proof they lied. And of course, the news media and some of the officials in the House and the Senate, they've lied too. They need to apologize. I don't know that their lying is necessarily criminal in the way that we're talking about. And of course, there needs to be a due process, and there needs to be an assumption of innocence unless there's guilt. But, you know, when any prosecutor brings charges, it's because there's a reasonable they have a reasonable feeling that someone has done something wrong. So, for example, the authorities couldn't charge me, for example, with embezzling $10 million from a local bank. And then I'd have to go through all this stuff to defend myself. I mean, there's not a shred of evidence because it didn't happen. And in a somewhat similar way, this thing about Russia collusion didn't happen. You know, it was the insurance policy that Peter Strzok talked about. And then, you know, between the election and the inauguration, they brought it out and they got the news media to go along with them. And kind of one thing led to another. And then the whole thing hit the fan, of course, in May after the inauguration. And I go into this both in God and Donald Trump, which was being written about that time, and also certainly with Trump Aftershock, that in May, in about a 14-day span, Comey was fired and some of the other things started. And, you know, once the legal system starts grinding out, you've got to follow it through a certain way. I mean, tomorrow I'm flying out to be with Jim Baker, and we all know what happened to him. He was also unjustly charged, found guilty, and then a judge threw out the whole thing because it was all made up. They were saying that he was cheating people because he was selling timeshares. He really wasn't. He was, you know, we could go into the whole thing about PTL. But the point is that when the PTL thing got into the legal system with bankruptcy and everything else, there was no turning back. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the situations that I saw kind of up close and personal, you know, mainly as a journalist trying to cover all that in Charisma magazine. But I saw the same thing happen with the Mueller probe and all the other things that have happened. Now that has run its course. And I think that now our president and the other officials, Senator Lindsey Graham, who I have great admiration for, as I'm sure many Americans do, they will get to the bottom of this. You know, thankfully, we still have law and order. It isn't just the crazy press and the crazy leftists do what they want to. They act like they've been getting away with it for so long that they can't believe that there's a disruptor. And Donald Trump is a disruptor. That most of the things that people don't like about Donald Trump is that he is disrupting the status quo, whether it's the kind of establishment Republicans that, you know, say one thing during the election and they govern as liberals, even though they say they're conservatives, or whether it's this kind of corruption in the highest levels of the FBI and the Department of Justice. We've got to get to the bottom of it. But it's also the bureaucracy. It's the news media. You know, the news media is protected as, you know, I'm part of the news media. We're in a different segment of it, but thank God for our freedom of the press. But what happens is they become big business. You know, somebody was pointing out on TV that these couple of these cable channels, they were in really serious financial trouble until Trump came along. And then they do all these conspiracy theories about Russia, and they go on and on and on and on. And it's been great for ratings because there are certain people who just eat that up.
Well, let me just mention that Stephen Strang is our guest, author of the book. You mentioned this Trump aftershock, and we can talk a little bit more about that. Before we go to a break and we want to continue our discussion, I want to ask you, it sounds like then whatever Lindsey Graham might get started in talking about some of the issues that you talked about regarding Hillary Clinton and James Comey and all the rest, that we could possibly see some sort of an investigation that could result in criminal charges? Are you willing to go that far, that could result from this?
Well, of course, if criminal things were done wrong, and it seems to me that when you lie to a FISA court using a made-up dossier that they have admitted in different settings that they weren't sure it was true, they were kind of hoping it was true and doing a wink and a nod and kind of a shell game kind of thing, that's illegal. You know, there was a fellow on a submarine that took some pictures with the cell phone so he could send them to his mother or something. They actually put him in jail because it was against the law. And if that's against the law, this other stuff, trying to bring down a president, you know, this was like a coup. They were trying to bring down a duly elected president. And then there's all kinds of other stuff that we haven't talked about how they were going to go in, remember, and be bugged and try to invoke the 25th Amendment, which is having the vice president become president. But that is for like if a president has a heart attack or a stroke and is laying in a coma but isn't actually dead, it's not because they don't like him. And so because they don't like him, they think things he said was crazy. And if you're crazy, you're not qualified to be president. That was where it was going. Now, they called their bluff and they said, well, they were joking. But I mean, this corruption, they thought they would get away with it. They thought they would get away with it because Hillary Clinton would be elected. And when she wasn't elected, they just went berserk. And all of these emails that you see from the FBI, weren't there like maybe 30,000 emails or some huge number like that? Yeah. Did they quote even one being pro-Donald Trump? You'd think that by accident there'd be some people in the FBI that were a little bit pro-Donald Trump. But it seems it was all against Donald Trump in favor of Hillary Clinton. Peter Strzok famously said that the election should have been 100 million to zero. That showed his where he was coming from. And then, of course, all these other text messages, too. They were so extreme that Mueller actually fired him from the investigation. That's pretty extreme. And if I were Peter Strzok, I'd be really nervous right now.
All right. Stephen Strang is the author of Trump Aftershock, as well as God and Donald Trump, CEO of Charisma Media. And you may have may even subscribe to Charisma Magazine. That's all a part of it. We're going to continue our discussion and kind of take a different angle on this. Are we really, is this evidence of a spiritual warfare that we are in? Or is that putting too fine a point on it? We'll talk about that coming up in just a couple minutes here on Focus Today. Welcome back to Focus Today. Steve Johnson with you. And with us again is Stephen Strang, author of his new book called Trump Aftershock and also God and Donald Trump. He's the CEO of Charisma Media and founder of Charisma Magazine. We've been talking about some of the spin-off effects of the news, of course, of Donald Trump and no longer being seen as colluding with the Russians. You know, the book of Ephesians talks about a spiritual battle that we are in, but I have a feeling the news media aren't going to be looking at this from that particular lens. Put it in perspective. From what you've seen with the attacks against Donald Trump and all the rest, how should we be viewing the events that we're seeing on the world stage being played out right now?
Well, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in high places. There's spiritual warfare going on all the time, 24/7, 365 days a year, every single year since the fall in the garden. You know, we as humans see things from our own perspective. And if things get bad, if we think they're getting bad, all of a sudden we think that there's spiritual warfare, but it's going on all the time. It's going on in our personal lives, in the ways that the enemy would attack us, with temptation or weaknesses that we have, all the way to the highest levels. Now, you have to be spiritually discerning to even understand this, but I think that it explains the craziness that's going on. And I especially delve into this in Trump Aftershock, talking about how the left just went berserk and all the things with George Soros and the protest and the just the way that they came unglued with Donald Trump. I believe that it's spiritual warfare. Now, it's been going on for a long time. We were talking a little earlier how the left has been having its way for, you know, really all my lifetime, but certainly since the 60s. The 60s were a very, very bad time, if you are old enough to remember them as I am. And it looked like a whole generation was going to hell in a handbasket, and it kind of looks like that again. But we have to remember that God is in control. Millions of people have been praying. Many of us have believed that our nation is going in the wrong direction. And I believe, and I made this point in God and Donald Trump, that people were praying and God raised up somebody that we didn't expect. I mean, who would have expected this billionaire, businessman, celebrity, casino owner to be the one that would disrupt the things that were going on, and also to protect religious liberty? I make the point that he is protecting religious liberty, and we could go into that. I mean, the example with the missionary named Andrew Brunson in Turkey is just one example of many. And he's protecting our right to be able to proclaim the gospel. You know, there are some on the left that are actually introducing legislation that the Bible should be considered a hate book because it condemns sin. And sin that people want to do and want to make legal. And somehow the Bible is a hate book. Now, thankfully, that's not gone through, but it just shows you the extremes that people will go. And if we're not careful, we're one or two elections away from the other side getting the upper hand. I mean, they already have the upper hand in the news media, academia, and in many parts of our government, you know, most of the bureaucracy is very, very left wing and kind of see things from that point of view.
Let me just ask you, do you see fellow Christians you come in contact with viewing it that way? Or do they see it as here's politics and here's what I believe, and this is why we don't talk about these issues in church or anything because they're separate?
Well, I think the whole issue of being separate is something that's come from our secular culture. In fact, the secularists have tried to say that things like abortion have become a political issue. So they'll make they'll make a political issue out of something that's really a spiritual issue, like life with abortion or pro-life, the whole thing about gay rights and what is God's plan for man and woman. They make it into a political issue, and then they tell the church to stand off. Now, there's a thing called the Johnson Amendment, which was passed in 1954. Most of your viewers probably know about it, but it was something that Lyndon Baines Johnson tacked onto the IRS code, that if churches were involved in politics, and it's basically saying that they couldn't endorse a candidate for a political office, but they could certainly get involved in discussing things of current events and even political things. And but it made most pastors very, very timid because they could lose their nonprofit status. Now, if we had time to go into it, I could say that only one church, one time in, you know, over 60 years has ever lost their nonprofit status, yet it became a bugaboo. Donald Trump, when he heard about it, he said, that's wrong. We need to repeal it. And he's made a presidential executive order to not enforce that. And they're working with Congress to try to change the law. But many Christians do have this feeling, well, that's political, we're spiritual. And the spiritual thing is the most important. That's what is our eternal life, not our contemporary life, that is most important in our relationship with God. And we Christians believe we're going to live in heaven forever. And if we don't serve God, that hell is where we'll spend eternity. That is not popular in the culture. Nobody wants to talk like that. I do think that Christians are starting to wake up, partly because things are getting so bad and because people are speaking up. There is a number of good books. I hope that my book or both of them help people to see what's going on and kind of see God's hand. That's why I called it God and Donald Trump. Some people actually made fun of us. How can you put the term God and Donald Trump in the same title? Well, God has a plan. And I was trying to say, God has a plan. He's got a perfect will. The Bible articulates that he's got a good plan for us. We know that from the book of Jeremiah. That's encouraging. But God also is a God of righteousness and judgment, and he does judge, and he will judge. And we have to realize that God is in control, and we as Christians need to pray, God, what is your will? What is not what is politically expedient or what are my friends all doing, but God, what do you want? And I think that people, as things get worse and worse, Christian people are getting more and more serious. And I believe that as things get worse, that God is going to raise up the church and the church will stand up in a way we haven't before. So in some ways, it'll be getting worse and worse. And in some ways, it'll be getting better and better. And I, for one, am glad there's, you know, the Bible in the book of Revelation talks about being either hot or cold. And if you're lukewarm, and frankly, the church has been lukewarm. We've had a facade of Christianity in this country when really we have not been biblically based for a long, long time, even going back as far as a century, long before you and I were born.
Okay, in the minute that we have left, do you think it's going to take it to get worse before Christians get activated, so to speak?
That's part of human nature. We don't get motivated until we have to. But listen, millions of people, their eyes are open. They may not know what to do, but you know what? We can always pray because there is power in prayer, and there we can take spiritual authority over the enemy, and Christians need to do it. The secular people aren't going to do it. Nominal Christians aren't going to do it. People that just go to church on Easter and Christmas, they're not going to do it. We need to take authority. We need to bind the enemy. We need to believe that righteousness is going to prevail in our country. And this, listen, the church ought to do this all the time. And hopefully we'll get back to doing what God wants us to do, to be salt and light in the world and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and hope for all mankind.
Okay. Stephen Strang, author of the book, Trump Aftershock and God and Donald Trump. You can go to the website godanddonaldtrump.com. Also the CEO of Charisma Media and founder of Charisma Magazine. Great to have you with us again. Appreciate your insight in all of that.
Thank you. Thanks for the privilege.
You bet. Until next time, we'll talk to you later. And thanks for joining us for Focus today.
I hope you enjoyed that interview. If you haven't picked up a copy of Trump Aftershock, I hope you will. And here's a way you can get one free. I have a new telephone number where you can call and leave messages, which we can actually use on the air if you ask us a question. The number is 407-706-8476. And in order to get some questions coming in, if you're one of the first 10 to send us a question, we will send you a free signed copy, postpaid, of my new book, Trump Aftershock. Next week, I'm going to be interviewing people out at Morningside. That's Jim Baker's ministry outside Branson, Missouri. And if you have any questions specifically about Jim Baker or his team that you'd like for me to ask when I'm out there, go ahead and call in. Or if there's a question about anything else, about Donald Trump, about what the Lord is doing in the world today, about spiritual warfare that we talk about so much, leave those questions as well. And if we use it, we will get back to you, of course, and let you know when it's on the podcast so you can listen. Thank you for listening to the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Stephen Strang. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.